All right, Matthew, welcome to episode 109 of the Performance Advantage podcast, where we bring sports science to the people with myself, Dr. Will O'Connor, and Dr. Matt Miller, aka MTB PhD, founder and creator of the world's first braking hardware and software to analyze your movements out on the trails. I need a sponsor, actually, Matt, because that's like a pretty big plug for your company.
Yeah, with Dr. Will. The most amazing dude I know.
Thanks. Yeah. Hit me up at Dr. Will O'Connor on Instagram. All right, Matt. Today we're talking through 2023.
Oh man.
Can you believe it? Yeah. So this is one of our most popular episodes last year when we did the pretty much, I don't know, recap and run through of how you can get faster next year, 2023. What we've taken away from some of the new science, some of the new technology that's come out over the past 6 months, some of our personal learning and experiences, both as like athletes, I'll call you that, Matt, and our experience with the athletes that we work with.
I wanted to, like, this was kind of my idea to redo this one. And I got to be honest with you, man, it's difficult to, every time we do a podcast, to always have like, these are the three things. And then we got to like set out the three things. I find it like, you know, I'm not totally convinced that that's what everyone really wants to listen to. Because when I turn on a podcast, I'm just listening to people like have a chat while I'm doing some soldering.
Gary Vee.
I don't listen to that guy.
Yeah, you're like, oh man, I was just listening to the meanest Gary Vee thing. I'm going to start swearing at everyone.
No, I definitely don't.
Remember when you thought, you're like, I think I need to swear more. You swear a bit and it sounds cool.
Yeah.
And then you tried it on for size and it did not fit.
Yeah, I gave that one up. I do believe that it is much cooler when you're cursing like at cool times. I just don't have the practice.
It's like a Kiwi and Aussie thing. Like, you know, you can even drop the C-bomb in a sentence and it not be like a GC, you know,
yeah,
and like, it not be outrageous.
You could do it around American your mom did it. And no, we can't. And like, I'm not going to try that anymore, but you know, when I listen to a podcast, I guess they get me with a title. Obviously you are amazing. You used to be pretty bad at writing titles. Actually,
they're like loud. Yeah.
Yeah. You weren't allowed, but now like you got some bomb titles. I got to say, like, you have become an expert at that. So, you know, you get them with the title. That's how these podcasts get me. It's like, oh yeah, I'd be pretty keen to listen to that. And then what you talk about, generally, I just enjoy just having a chat, right? And, you know, the five things that will make you better for 2023. And then we just talk about like what we've been up to or something. Like, well, I'm already tuned in and I'm not going to like open up my phone and change this or like anyway. So I'll just listen.
All right. I think there's a mixture of both.
Yeah.
It's individuality. That's fine too.
Yeah. It's a problem when there's two of us. You know, we got to like agree on something. But so like, can we just meet in the middle then? And
okay, what are your five things?
No. I don't have any things. I want, I want to know actually, what are you going to do to be better next year? We tried this. This didn't go over well. We were having a New Year's, I guess you'd call it a party, right? Do you remember? We were at the lake.
Oh, yeah.
A few years ago.
Like, oh, Matt, you're so dry. Like, get out of here with your New Year's resolutions.
Not a resolution, but like,
you know, this is one thing that is challenging always in like business, especially more so than like athletic endeavors, as things just move so quickly and things pile up really rapidly, and you know, you get sick or you get like a new, for us, like we do like contract work and stuff, you could get a new contract and maybe you want to like increase your earnings or revenue by 10%, or I want to take on five new clients or something, and then you'd have like, you put out heaps of content, right? We'll go, oh, we're going to do like five podcasts in January. And you put out all this content. You know, we did it with like our courses sometimes. We're like, all right, let's put some Facebook ads up, and crickets, right? Nothing. for like 2 months. And then like a month later, you do nothing, like one podcast episode. And then you're really busy with family and you got sick and you know, we're having a holiday. And then you get like all these inquiries and sell all these courses. And you're like, well, what the hell? I just completely did not align to my like goals and expectations despite doing all of this hard work. And then I did absolutely nothing. And then I got like all this return on zero investment. But was it the previous investment? Like,
you got to look at that with training.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. Yeah.
You don't get results right away. Like, you get results when you're like, well, your fitness increases when you're resting, right? So you do all this work, all this training. You're like, oh man, I'm going backwards. And you know what? To be honest, I'm a little bit tired. So I'm just going to put this away. I'm a little bit burnt out on this. So I'm going to put this away and come back to it in a few weeks. Well, that's a rest week, man. That's periodization. And like, I believe that as people, we have to do that. I've been talking to you about this one for a while, like how we're all high performance athletes. And if we structured everything we do around what a high performance athlete does, then we could be better and more productive. We'll save actually that one because I don't want to give away too much of that IP that's been circulating in my mind and in my notebooks. But we were going to like go pretty hard on that idea this time last year.
Yeah. Remember the big plan we wrote out?
Yeah. The big plan. Plans change. You know, I still, at the end of every year, here's what I do. I think I said this in the last podcast that from last year. I write down all the like things that I accomplished from the year. So I can't remember what I wrote last year, but like, you know, a list of 10 things, like the big things. And then I write 10 things that I'll do that I want to accomplish next year. I can already tell you that the list for things that I was meant to do in 2022 hasn't been totally checked off. And like some things were pretty basic. Like I think one of them was be on 5 podcast episodes as a guest. I think I was only on like a couple this year as a guest. So that's my bad. I didn't really like chase that up. But the one thing was write a book. And actually, did you see it? You see it? Here it is.
Yeah.
I got these proofs. That's pretty cool. It's like that was one of my goals. And I got to say, when these arrived yesterday in the mail, they're just proofs. So I just made the edits this morning, changed it up. But I opened the package and I looked at it and I genuinely felt good. And you know, in what we do, where we're like, you know, trying to push the limits of, you know, of our endeavors, right? So I'm trying to build this thing called Break Ace, and it's difficult. And most days are hard. Like, no one will really understand, right?
Do you know that feeling? That feeling that you experienced when you saw that book, the proof of that book come in the box?
Yeah.
That is, you know, when you finish a race, you get across the finish line, time placing means absolutely nothing. It was that you just know you reached your potential. You know, when you get across the finish line, you're like, I did the work, I executed my plan, and that was what I had today. And that feels really, really good. Yeah, it was like, I haven't experienced that outside of sport probably because when we finished that course, the courses, that was amazing, especially the Training Peaks ones. But since finishing my PhD, that was like the biggest, when I like had that thesis ticked off, it was just like the biggest weight off my shoulder. I found it the biggest struggles I've had outside of sport ever. Right, because it has a defined finish line, you know, very much like a race. Like, and when you work really hard towards something, like an event, and then you execute a really good event, you get that finish line fairly, especially if you're doing like marathons, ultra marathons, or like, you know, marathon mountain bike races, or you do like Caleb, you know, the guy you work with who just finished his season with a win, you know, and like, he had that European, went to North America, like he had real downs, you know, and then real ups, and he just finished with a win. And you like that feeling of you opening the box and seeing like a publication, like your published book, my publication this year, that was amazing. That was such an amazing feeling. to get like a scientific peer-reviewed publication. Like so now this is why you need to write these things down, like your accomplishments for the year.
Yeah, definitely. So you can remember that good feeling, right? Because that good feeling is what we're chasing.
Because I said, I haven't felt it since my PhD, but actually there's numerous occasions now.
Yeah. You need to get those small wins. Otherwise, like, what the heck are you doing? If you only feel good like once every 2 years, like, ugh. It's like triathletes that only, triathletes, they do one race a year and they're like, oh, you got to wait 12 months and train four times a day to get that like disappointment of blowing up the start. But
sorry, triathletes. It's not always.
They're used to taking all that abuse, and it's like one year out the other while they're on Zwift. You know, it's just another podcast. But those good feelings are like, you know, that's what we're chasing in sport. And I gotta be honest, like finishing an event, I know what that feeling's like when you feel like you did everything you could, and I guess I just haven't done any events lately, but I'm signed up for one in March.
So you were signed up for one this year, right?
Yeah, well, it got canceled. Remember how, like, I was like,
because you started training.
Yeah, like I was getting fit. Test and... Yeah, I was getting
fit. Remember that 5K?
Yeah. What 5K?
Just have a look at our listens per episode this year. It's that really popular one where you said you're going to do a 5K and everyone kept hitting us up for the follow-up.
Yeah. I still have those shoes. I have not worn them once. They're in... I got them like right after that podcast. I'm building my training plan for that event in March. And like, I got to be honest, it's like, I'm not... like keen at the moment because I know how much work it's going to be, and like I looked at my fitness and like I know where my fitness is at compared to last year. I'm starting at a similar point. It just feels like I know what I got to do, and that was kind of why the idea for this podcast, why I came up with that thought, is like, all right, what am I going to do so I can be ready for that, and what am I going to do outside of that so I can make sure everybody gets their break ace. So yeah.
And what are your five things?
Well, I mean, I don't have five things. I asked you actually, what are you going to do to be better next year? So I'll start. So you get an idea of like what I was thinking for this episode.
Okay.
Since I did a horrible job.
Number one.
Explaining my idea. There's like, in terms of like getting fitter, I know there's like actually two things that I need to do. So I've actually been doing like a pretty good job of keeping up with a little bit of running. So
yeah.
Once a week, and I've been going a little bit harder than I did same time last year. So I think that's actually that's good. I would say overall, I've probably been on the bike fewer Ks for sure, because I sold my road bike like an idiot, which like was a huge mistake because I really miss my road bike like a lot. Like dream of my road bike. So I'll have to get one of those. But you know, starting at a similar place. I have been going, like, doing some hills at Threshold, which I wasn't doing this time last year, for sure. I was just going out and riding easy. So that's a benefit. But the two things that I need, for sure, are regular long road rides. It's going to have to be on my mountain bike unless I get a new road bike. So I definitely need that because those make a huge difference for me. I don't know about you, but, like, if I bang out, like, three or four hour rides over the course of a few weeks, I'm like a new person.
Yeah. Oh, I see it like in running it especially, because you can have a super fit runner, someone who's done ultra marathons before, you know, maybe a couple marathons a year, and they want to step up to like 100K. You know, like, okay, well, this weekend got to do, you know, a 4 hour run, and they get 2.5 hours in or so, and they're like, oh my, on trails, like I'm broken, you know, and you do a couple of those and then it becomes like, oh yeah, cool. Only got 3 hours this weekend. That should be fun.
Yeah.
That's that, you know, you go do a long ride and your back hurts and you're like thinking about what you're going to eat when you get back.
Like, yeah, like 1 hour
in. Picturing the fridge.
Yeah. Yeah. They're good, man. They're good. Yeah, so
totally.
You did a few last year. Like, why did you do that? You did a few, like...
Because I broke my back.
Oh, right. Yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
The old broken back.
Go
out on a 700 by 23 tire on a bumpy New Zealand road and pump it up to 130. That's good for the back.
Yep. It was completely fine. It was my sacrum. But, it was fun. It was definitely fun. Good day. Like, you know, no low winds and you can just cruise.
Yeah. I do love that. Like, the weird thing. So I'm in this weird position at the moment is like, I know I love a good road ride, but I just don't feel like doing one. It's really weird.
Because when I got injured, I did a bit of road riding, lots of mountain biking and some swimming. And so, you know, I used to do triathlon. So these things aren't new. I have the equipment, I have the skills, expertise and all the kit. So, and I really had a lot of fun, you know, especially when you do an easy swim, because I'm a reasonable swimmer. I can swim easy and enjoy it for, you know, 30 minutes to an hour. And it's, you know, you're weightless and it's not, you don't feel so banged up like you do running. And like, I want to keep this in, you know? And then Emma's like, it's going to be the same thing you do every time. You have a bit of a break, you do some swimming, some mountain biking. And then as running builds up, you're like, well, it's just running now.
Yeah.
And like part of it is the efficiency of running. You know, Matt, we live close to the forest. The Whakarewarewa forest here in Rotorua is literally endless amounts of trails. It's the way they link up and everything is just absolutely endless. So I'm like, oh, well, I'll just go for an hour run. You know, I don't have to clean anything or, you know, oil my chain. I'm not going to wear out components, just take my shoes, you know, wash my kit. That's it. So that, how does that correlate to what I'd want to do next year then? I think probably having a proper break. I get so addicted to like running and wanting to maintain consistency and some semblance of fitness. It's like I had to have 6 weeks completely off running when I fractured my sacrum, right? And it definitely set me back. Like I haven't progressed to the level I would have thought I would be based off of where I was at the same time last year, you know, just with like where my threshold's sitting. And obviously you can't predict the future. What happened, so it's fine. But I think like I would like to say after Tarawera this year, have 4 weeks where I'm like not letting myself run more than say twice a week.
I mean, that's like rule number one, man. Having a proper break.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You're just addicted.
It is.
You're just
addicted. Yeah, totally.
It's hard.
Well, because it's just, there's all these events, you know, and you want to, the season kind of, when you do big events like an Ironman or an ultra marathon, there's no season. It's your event, right? And so you need like a really long run in. You know, we talked about this in periodization within the sports science masterclass. Get it on our website. And I talked about, you talked a bit through a season. You know, mountain bikers, cross-country mountain bikers do a season, cyclists do a season, even track runners do a season. But in like a marathon, ultra marathon, like you do one. Pretty much, and then you roll into the next one, and you need like a good quality 3 month lead in order to build. You need like really 5 months. You need 2 months to build up the conditioning and base fitness to be able to handle 2 months of really intensive ultra marathon training with the 1 month tapering off. So there it is. Like there's 5 months of your training. So you roll out of, say, you know, in February, I'll do Tarawera. You roll out of that and you think, I'm going to have a month off. You're like, oh, but my next ultra is going to be just because of timing. You know, there's a national champs in May. So I've got to do one like 3 months after. And so before you know it, you're like forcing yourself back into training. Yeah. Or you know, you get invited to, or not, no one gets invited. Anyway, someone, your mates are like
oh, a friend invites you over.
Yeah. You don't get invited anywhere, man. You were just saying off the show, you're like, I don't know what other people do.
I did say that. Yeah.
Outside of bootstrap startups, like what are normal people.
It's a direct quote. No idea.
So, in you know how it is, Matt. Like, you've seen it with athletes. Oh, do you think I could also do this event in the lead up to this one? And before you know it, and this is what I really try to implement as a coach, is like really well thought out long term structure. So it's like, yes, you can do this 10K or half marathon or duathlon event in the winter, but it's nothing. It's just another training session, because before you know it, you get drawn into a shorter tape. You know, oh, I better taper off because I don't want to embarrass myself. I've got a bit of
Then
you do a bit of recovery, and then there's 2 weeks of your training where you've actually really been able to thrash yourself in the event because you tapered a little bit because you wanted to get a good time or a good result. Or you didn't want to embarrass yourself. And then you've actually like had to recover a little bit. And now you're like, well, this training's completely different than for your A event. And that's why.
Dude, this is New Zealand problems, because the winter's just not cold enough to like actually have a break from competition. Cause there's like generally events going on all winter. You're like, well, when do I have a break again? Oh, well, generally never. I think that's a horrible thing really as like a competitor. And if you're a New Zealand athlete that also races overseas, like you really need to be diligent.
We really struggled with this when I was working with Triathlon New Zealand as for junior athletes. For the elite, like professionals, summer is their off season. They're just training, and then they do the odd local event, which means nothing. You know, there's like one event with point, like, you know, world tour points. And it's a second tier event. So it's like, whatever. But for the juniors, their selection races are in March, right? So you train all summer for the selection race in March, while each race meaning something along the way all summer. So you have to be peaked. Then you've got world champs typically around September. So then you'll have the shortest break, if not going into like April overseas world start of like second, like World Cup. So there's World Series and then World Cups to sit below that for triathlon. And where did you have your break?
Yeah. It's also
the
difficulty of having like the Christmas holiday where like generally like everyone is seeing family, super busy. Like, in New Zealand, we have that on the longest days of the year, right? So, like, it's a great time to get in training. And the events are coming up because they don't have them over Christmas, but they sure do after. So, like, in a way, that's a great time in North America where we're like, oh, yeah, well, I'll just have a break now because there's so much else going on. The days are so short. So it's a great time to have a break for training.
Yeah, New Zealand, it's like there's nothing to draw you out of that.
Yeah,
you know, you're not just going to go, oh, there's this cool CX race down at, you know, the local trails. That should be fun. There's a cool club thing on every Thursday or whatever.
There probably is. They still have that, actually. Those will still go on. But But if you're if you love having a break as much as I always did, you're going to do it anyway, regardless of what's happening. And Christmas is a great time to do it. We just can't do it here because it's just so nice. So many fun adventures to go on over Christmas in New Zealand. It's endless. So that's a problem. But it's a good time to reflect on what you're going to do next year. I didn't get to finish, actually. The other thing that I need
number
to do.
Number two.
Out of five. I need to come up with a few more. But some hard intervals, actually. Some hard intervals is what I need. I know that I do really well, like, this one, like a classic interval set, 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off, five of those. have a break, do that three times. So that's like the classic. And I know that that will completely change me.
Yeah,
I just need to do it. And right now, I'm not super keen to just go suffer. So I need to like get over that. And I guess like the point of saying these things is that I know for me, like once I actually make that plan, like last year, I got pretty fired up on that plan. I was like, yep, this is what I'm doing every day. It was like the first time I had ever like outlined for me a training plan. I stuck with it every day until the stupid race got canceled because of COVID. Hence why I'm doing it this year, next year.
So yeah, plans are most important.
Are you going to have one for you next year? Are you going to actually build one?
Yeah, I've got one for leading into Tarawera. I haven't planned past that, but like this year I did both leading into, so after my injury or the return from injury plan, then the half marathon plan, and then that rolled into a bit of a break before the Auckland marathon plan. I don't know if that was the last episode you grilled me on that or the one before, but it was really, really good for me to plan out when I'm going to implement new workouts that I've been trialing, like, or thinking about, you know, about designing and new ways of training. So I did like a Norwegian approach to a double threshold day leading into the halves, which worked incredibly well. It was such a good effective use of my time and energy, and placing those workouts, and it opened my whole week up, and the consistency was amazing. The results I think I got from it, you know, it's N of one, so it's hard to, but it's something that I would definitely have comfort in applying to someone else that I work with who maybe is a bit time poor and has, like, you know, we can structure it in that way. But what it didn't do, which was a horrible but fun experience, was like, I'll see if this will then translate into my ultra marathon, which I did for fun, in quotation, like air quotes, for fun, a 60K, like 3,000 meter elevation ultra, off the back of those two half marathons that I did. And it did not. Like, fitness, I was probably the fittest I'd been over around my threshold, like in that half marathon 1 hour space, for like the longest time. I'd never really targeted that, but then in terms of the muscular conditioning to sustain like a, you know, low zone two for whatever it was, 5.5 hours, no good. I fell apart
again. N of one, because every indication would be, like, in terms of the literature, would be that if you increase your threshold, you should increase your ability to sustain lower workload.
Yeah, but you can't even run for an hour. Like, you know how it is, muscular damage, eccentric loading wise. Like, it's, you could be the strongest person, but can you do 100 curls?
But I can go walk for 10 hours. Right?
So this comes back to the pacing thing.
I mean, basically everything comes back to pacing. So I won't like guilt you on pacing again.
Yeah, well, I get, like, you're right. Obviously, like, I could have walked the whole thing. Right. I could have jogged the whole thing. I guess when you're looking at optimizing your output, right? Like, I wasn't going there to walk for 60 minutes.
There's like a happy medium though, obviously.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, 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 yeah. And but I was really conservative relatively, and was like, I didn't get caught up in the race. Like, I really thought I was watching my heart rate like really well, kept slowing down, you know, walked some bits, really stopped at the aid station, like, and felt great. And then I just like fell apart. I just hadn't run those inclines and decline, like, I, especially that level of elevation. I just hadn't done it. My half marathons were flat, so I did hill repeats, but I didn't do, you know, a lot of downhill
So for the two things then, is one of them like downhill running then? What are the two things that you will do for 2023 to be a better version of Will?
Yeah, more challenging trail, like tempo trail running on hills up and down rather than just the hill repeats.
Ah, yeah, okay. That sounds cool.
Yeah. So what I, because last year, I'm not sure if we talked about in the podcast, but I implemented like the Hour of Power run, which was an undulating forest run, but that never had anything more than, say, 30, 40 meters. Like there's no flat, but it never like climbed, you know? And what I've found, especially just in the weekend where I did like ran up Mount Alpha down in Wanaka, it's like 1600 meters. Oh, I was banged up in a big way coming down. You know when you start off, you know, this is so much fun, and then you start going, and then after it took like just over 4 hours, after 3 hours, like I'd rather not be here now. Like, or I'd like to just cruise along the flat, but you're still just going downhill and your legs hurt.
Dude,
So
that was me in the hunting trip. We walked like
yes.
literally 10 hours, and then walking back down those hills, no trail, in like tussock that was cutting my legs so much. And it was hard. I'm still
That's
tired.
when you're in your head, eh? You're not talking to anyone. No one's having a laugh. Everyone's just like there. Like you're physically there, mentally, you're just inside yourself thinking, I wonder how long it would take. How long was it when we came back this way? Do you think it, I wonder if it'll be 30 minutes or 40 minutes?
I think with like when you're hunting down a mountain as well, you also have this like mental drain as well, where you're like looking for things. You're like, this is hard physically. It's hard technically. I'm probably gonna slip. And I'm also like trying to look for things. So like you finish it pretty tired. But yeah, it is like I noticed like I don't know if it's down to shoes or whatever, but my mate that I was with, he walks downhill like so sure-footed. Like I'm not bad downhill, but like he's just like foot's there, I'm moving my other foot. It's like there's no like trying to find the perfect place to put the foot. It's like boom, boom, boom. It was impressive.
Some people are exceptional. I'm pretty good at trail running, but
You
loose,
used to be really bad actually at that.
yes,
I
yeah, I
like
did.
because I remember Sam Shaw smoked you on a downhill, like a
Yeah,
running
yeah.
race. It was like 10 years ago. And you were like so annoyed, but it's because he could run downhill a lot faster than you.
I had to work on that skill. A lot of it's confidence. Confidence in the grip in your shoe. Like, so it's like confidence experience, and then there's the skill component.
Is
You
there any
gain
like,
confidence from your experience.
is there any physical like part? Because I think of it like a plyometric in a way where you need to like obviously do it really quickly. I wrote about this in my book actually, where I talk about how free speed, get it on breakace.com or on Amazon. I wrote about how like I'm really bad at running downhill, right? So whereas so I like have to I could jump from one rock onto the next rock, right? Whereas you would be like just barreling kind of through with
Yeah,
much more
so part
control.
of that's just the same as a trail where I'm looking 3 steps ahead. And that's the experience thing. I've already, where you're looking to jump next, I already know that that's where my foot's going. That's
Don't
where's
let's
my
not get into this too much because I don't want to have to like edit my book again. I just
foot's
finished like
going
the
after that.
final edit this morning.
It's like a mountain biking looking through the corner, look where you want to
Oh
go.
my gosh, I didn't even touch on this in my book. This is like clear like a pathway for like volume two. Oh man. Okay, I'll make a note
Maybe
of
I
that
could do
actually.
a chapter.
Well, you wrote the foreword.
I
Quoted
did.
Drake. I think like your time in the sun is over, buddy. So I'll finish
Yeah,
it. That'd be you should do a guest chapter actually. We'll just randomly add a running one because it is like breaking, obviously. Like the book's about breaking. So like you know you have so much more control when you're running down a hill that it's
there's
like someone who
less
breaks
breaking.
more in
You
control.
know, I was just reading up on so I got these new watches, right? And there's this whole new thing, Effort Pace, which we're going to go into in a different episode, hopefully get someone on from Koros, but with, you know, in conjunction running power, there's all this stuff, right?
And I'm excited actually about, we talked about this, like we briefly hit on it last time, effort pace is like, I reckon that's like a game changer for running.
So part of the calculation is they use this research and they showed that when you
is that sponsored by research or is it like an actual
no this is before GPS technology worked.
Oh yeah, okay.
Like they had it was maybe 68 and it was like the energetic cost of up and downhill running compared to flat. That's not the exact title, but it's something along those lines.
Can you find it and put it in the description actually?
I've got it. I'm writing the blog on the normalized graded pace and effort pace and running power and stuff. And so what they showed is like over this is flat terrain running, like over 15% up or down eliminates the positive or negative energy contribution you get from elastic recoil. So that is, there is no propulsive, you're not applying a propulsive force when you're running down 15% or above, and you are not getting any elastic recoil when you're running above 15%. So when you're running down a hill and it's over 15% gradient, all of your energy, or like the, I guess the energetic cost, the oxygen cost, is the same thing, right? The work you're doing is breaking.
Yeah. That's interesting. I'm just thinking about how they would have measured that. They could probably like look at the work you're doing in terms of moving your mass across a distance, and then so they'd look at then different gradients, and then also obviously being measuring your oxygen uptake to see like where the kind of breaking point is, because when you're kind of bounding across on flat, your muscles are stretching and kind of helping almost like slingshot every step.
Yeah.
Really good runners have much stiffer, well, not really good runners, let's say really good like sprinters have really stiff muscles. It's just term stiffness, because they're able to like store and release elastic energy much better. It's like Usain Bolt would be like much more bouncy than you.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It's like a, you know, a slinky. Do you have those in America?
Yeah.
Are they called slinkies?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got a slinky, cool, which is like nothing. It just collapses in a heap.
Yeah.
And then you've got the spring when you're sitting in class and you break your pen in half just to do something that's not whatever the teacher's talking to you about.
Yeah.
You've got that spring in there to click your pen.
Yeah.
Shooters. And you used to be able to like pea shooters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone knows.
Lots of recoil. That's Usain Bolt and I'm the slinky. Yeah.
Do you want to be like Usain Bolt in 2023? Or like, yeah. Is that what you're saying? Is that going to help your like downhill running? Like maybe some
plyos? No. What I've realized over the last little bit I've been training to do a 1 mile event, not 100 mile, 1 mile, you know, 1600 meters
like
next weekend.
2 minutes race.
But
how long does it take to do a mile? 4 minutes?
You know, you've heard of the sub 4 minute mile.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's fast. That's really fast. I won't be doing that.
Okay.
But I don't know. Hopefully I get like a 4:20. there's a couple dead turns. It's a road one. It's not on the track. But anyway, and this, you know, I got that. I was doing track running last year, and I got the stress fracture because I was doing very intensive. I got sucked into like, I just wanted to do it for fun to complement polarize my ultra training. But then I got sucked into like doing pretty well when I started. You know, I did like an 8:50. I was like, well, maybe I should go to national champs and like. Anyway, I overdid it. And then I've just done some more speed work and I've kind of hurt my lower abdomen. And I'm just realizing that I'm getting older.
Oh.
And wow. That I think part of these niggles that I've never had, right, as you know, just aging. Like I'm 34, I'm not like as old as you or anything, but there is a point at which the elasticity in your muscles, the collagen reproduction, just general life catches up with you a bit. And so I'm thinking, oh, like I tried to commit to going to the gym this year, but I don't like it. And so I'm just running my 1 year membership out like every other pleb.
That's the classic. They really count on you guys to like keep the business afloat.
Yeah.
Statistically. Yeah.
But that's part of having that plan, like coming back from injury when my running load wasn't as high, I had more energy to distribute to other things.
Oh, we talked about this one in episode 107. Feels like a lifetime ago, but yes, energetic output theory. Remember?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's exactly it. And so where, like what got, when we talk about planning, what really, really derailed a lot of my yearly plan was when our family got COVID, right? Because that not only was it 2 days before we're going to have a holiday in Australia, which then got postponed, but then our son, Jimothy, stopped having naps. And so then there's like this 2 hour window we could be productive and get stuff done, then just evaporated. And so now we're entertaining again.
Oh, is he like not into naps anymore?
No, he doesn't nap.
Oh,
no
what?
Nap. No nap.
Like, when does that come?
It's his birthday today, actually.
Oh. Oh, wow. Yeah. Happy birthday, Jimbo.
Yeah, look forward to you dropping your present around.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give him a copy of the book.
Oh, he would love it.
Yeah.
He would love it. Signed, please.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It says not for resale because it's just a proof. But, oh, so you like, yeah, but that happens, you know, like.
But anyway, it's getting derailed. We had, like, me and Emma had a really good system for, like, if he was having a nap, then, you know, I could shoot off for a run or, you know, some chores or something, and she could do some work, or she could go do some whatever it was. No one needed to be eyes on, you know, or like hands on or out or anything with James. And then that just without warning, that just removed itself. And then Emma had got like the semi-long COVID thing, and then I was doing more hands-on with James because she was needing to nap now. It's like a role reversal. And so that's the energetic output theory, right? Where you're like, okay, all the training looks exactly the same, but I'm not adapting to it anymore. I've actually lowered my workload in terms of like, you know, whatever you want, work, but I've increased energy output somewhere else.
It's exactly what Kevin Van Heuvel's talked about when he talked about like how he became, I think he got like top 10 at the Olympics in mountain bikes.
16th. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
he didn't change his training. He just like had more time to rest when he stopped working. And that made all the difference. People forget that.
Well, I think people forget the mirrored image of that, which is you cannot change your training. The training that you did last month, the 6 hours, the 8 hours, whatever it was, the 3 rides and a long one in the weekend. And then you lay on top of that, getting ready for Christmas, right? Staff work party, I don't know, some like Christmas in the park. And now you've got all the stuff that you just wasn't there. You got to go pick up your click and collects and stand in line for an hour.
Yeah, you got to drive like 10 minutes into town. You'd be smoked for a week.
Exactly, right? Didn't have to do that earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And so it can be the same amount of training, but it's not you. It's not the training. Everyone just looks at the training as such a controllable factor. Like I could do these 30 minute tempos at, you know, 350 watts or like 4 minute Ks. And now I'm like really struggling to get out the next day. I'm going to have like an extra day. Now you just compare apples with apples and you're like, well, I was running 5 times a week doing 80 Ks. Now I'm doing like 4 days a week. I'm doing 60 Ks. I can see that that's less and that I'm still like, I'm more tired than I was a month ago. So my training is not work, you know, and it's, and then so you try to do more because you know what you can do, what you're capable of, and you, yeah, you're ignoring the external factors. So balancing act, like, that's something I'm really, I've worked pretty well on without a plan this last couple of months, and something that I'm going to try and implement next year.
All right. So you're going to work on running downhill and you're going to implement your plan. So, like, in terms of everyone else, like everyone listening, I think I can remember how many things we had to be the better you in 2022. I'm just scrolling back. We've had quite a few episodes since then, actually. Oops, I clicked bulk replace episodes. That's not what I want to do.
I'll please don't. So what are you up to? You up to number four?
No, I'm just doing two. So I just want to know, like, what you think everyone else should do. Like, if someone listening, they're like, yo, Will, I want to be a better me in 2023. What's one thing that I could do that isn't on, like, every self-help thing? Or maybe it is. I don't know. What do you have? What's one thing? Or two.
Okay. Do you know what helped me massively across everything was I timed, I got, I think it's called Clockify, right? And I timed every productive thing I was doing work related. And then I realized that I only have 20 to 25 hours of productive mental space, where I was actually on, you know, writing training plans, talking to a person, doing social content, like writing newsletters, doing back-end integration, all that stuff, you know, writing emails, replying to email. Like, when I was on, I like recorded all of that. And so within that, I could plan out what I was hoping to achieve next week. You know, you always have your to-do list. Oh, I want to write a book. I want to, like, what was the other thing you said? You know, I want to say, you want to do, like, oh, I want to, yeah, do this. And then I also want to work on a course that I'm doing, maybe the, you know, Performance Advantage Masterclass Sports Science course. But you write all these things and you realize, well, like, day to day, I've only got about 4 or 5 hours to try and get this stuff done. And I'm just going to write this out. I've got a meeting. It's going to take 2 hours. I'm going to be pretty smoked. Then I've got a podcast. Then I'm pretty much done mentally. If I try and do 8 hours on Monday, there's some hours that aren't going to be there later in the week. And so that's really helped me to be nicer to myself when I need to switch off and be like, well, I measured it for like the last year, 6 months, right? And that's when I had two jobs. And it's the same thing every single time. And if I went over that, like I did an 8 hour day or something, it caught up with me, right? And so that allowed me to go switch off. All right, now it's time for family and then training. And rather
Bro,
than
I think you just you literally just lost like 99% of people listening. Like most people have to like punch in at work, I think.
No, so did I, because I was, you know, I was doing the tertiary education role. But it would take me 8 hours to get like 4 hours of productive work.
Yeah.
You know, because you got to have lunch.
What are you saying? Like everyone should just like go in for 3 hours and then go home? That's not possible for most people. What can they do?
Well, they can. What it allowed me to do within a day or within a week, better strategically spend my time, right? I'm gonna have to be here, let's say 9 to 5, right? That's my window. I have to be here clock in, clock out. Well, I'm not gonna expect to write like a new Braecase algorithm or like the long run training plan calculator that I just did for the Reignite Your Running Plan. You know, I'm not gonna expect to do that on day one while having a client meeting, replying to emails and teaching a class, right? I'm going to have to space that out. I'm going to have to allot 30 minutes. And for every 30 minutes, I almost spend 15 minutes fucking around. So you.
That was so cool.
Thanks.
It was pretty cool. Like, you really made your point with that additional swear word. That was awesome.
So if you can get out earlier,
yeah,
you know, just, and so what is, now that I don't have to clock in, clock out, I what?
They're still laughing at how cool it was.
I just have my chores, like my tasks.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go for them. And then, like, if I'm struggling to write a new blog or like put together a training plan for someone, then I'm not doing my job well and I just stop.
Yeah.
Like, that's the time you go hang the washing out, or, you know, I work from home. So don't hang your washing out in the office. It'll be weird.
Used to do that at Massey, actually. But
that was one thing. It really, really opened my eyes to, like, how productive can you be in a week and how hard can you be on yourself for not ticking this never-ending to-do list off?
Yeah, it is never-ending.
Like, 'cause even, like, everyone's always booking a holiday. Like, how many times are you on, like, booking.com, Airbnb, like, Air New Zealand, or, like, you know, Webjet, just, like, homes.co.nz looking at house prices? You know, like, that's all energy. So just you need to just put that away somewhere while you do your productive, because you're going to do that. You're not going to not do it. No one's perfect.
Yeah. All the one of my other goals was this past year was to read a book a month, which didn't happen, but I did just finish one. I'm actually reading, not listening. So it is two days ago. And I love thinking about productivity when I'm procrastinating, basically. But what I have to do is I do my, like, most difficult tasks first, right? So if that's a workout for the day, well, you just finish the hardest part of your day, and then you can really get on to the more creative things then, and then the more mindless things, which for me is, like, soldering. Like, I can do that at any time because I'm just going to listen to a podcast and do it. So that is a good way to do it, like, space out your day.
Yeah. So in relation to, like, this being a training podcast, sports science podcast, what it allowed me to do was open up energy and time for training. So that I wasn't just, like, dragging myself through the mud to try and, like, get content out or, like, be creative when I definitely wasn't. Because it's like, look, you've got this window. You've done a really, really solid 4 hours, 5 hours today. Shut it down. You're good. You know, it's like training. Like, oh, that 1 hour felt, zone two felt really good. Cool. Shut it down. Don't test yourself with a 1K or push out another 30. Like, because you've got the days and weeks that are coming after this. Yep.
Cool. So the WIFM is, the what's in it for me for the listener is... Exactly.
I just did. You got more energy, time, and mental clarity for your training.
Okay. So it's like block things out as best as possible so you can, like, be present and get more out of it, out of your training, perhaps.
Yeah. Or just, you know, one thing that Braycase is all about is, like, if you can't measure it, you can't improve it. You know, and when during my PhD, we had everyone using MyFitnessPal. A diet diary, you know, and everyone was like, wow, I didn't realize I didn't eat that much during these days. I didn't realize I, like, this had so many calories in it. Most people didn't realize they just weren't eating consistently enough, right? And it's like, oh, I didn't know that just two Weet-Bix and milk had like 300 calories. I should be getting a lot more than that. No wonder I'm, you know, feeling crap at 10 a.m. It's the same with monitoring your productivity. Right. And wondering why you're, like, carrying all this, like, load into, like, into your training. Like, you don't want to be thinking about emails or what some Karen has done to piss you off in the office. Like, it's just, you know, shut it down. Mm. Work productive. And sure, that's going to be easier for some people than others. Right. If your office place is just Karen's, it's just the way it's going to be. You just have to handle that. Are Karen's a thing worldwide?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You want to be careful because there are probably some people named Karen listening. You don't want to lump them all into the same crew, you know?
I mean, we've done that with Steve enough times.
That's true.
I think every second listener is Steve.
Which generally there's a positive spin to Steve. But yeah. That is true. So I guess I have one tip for you to be better in 2023.
Right, number five.
This is not, yeah. Okay. I say talk to two people who know. Talk to two people who know. Because one of the things that I've been, as I'm trying to learn more, is I'm constantly reading things on the internet. And, so, you know, when I read about something I really know, I'm like, oh, that is wrong. You know, like I see things that are wrong, like actually wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, yep. This is like presented so well that it's like, it sounds right, but it's wrong. So talk to one person who knows, right? One person who actually knows what they're doing, like a professional, like yourself. But like, I just want to like take it a little bit further. And, you know, so you're not like getting this bro science from Steve, right? Because Steve like read it on Reddit. Talk to one person who knows, but then take those notes, and then talk to someone else who knows, right? So get two sets of ideas. And if you can combine it with the information that you read on Reddit, you can put together some really good ideas. So if you talk to two people who know, you're learning a lot more, and you can ask even the same questions and maybe get different answers, and you might come up with, you know, the perfect thing that works for you. So whether that comes down to what workouts to do or how to rest or like where to put your money in, you know, the bank or whatever.
Crypto.
Yeah.
Do not take that as financial advice.
It would have been a perfect place to swear. But if you talk to two people who know, like, and you ask them things about your training or about the equipment that you're going to buy, get their ideas and just see what happens.
I think, yeah, and you know,
they don't know everything. Might. You got to remember that. You might talk to two people and say, don't buy Brake Ace. And they're wrong because they're wrong, right? Because they have never tried it. So, like, maybe you want to get two different, like, perspectives, someone who has and someone who hasn't, or something like that.
One is a good start.
Well, considering they couldn't really talk to anyone at the moment because we haven't shipped them, that'll change soon. But yeah, yeah, like talk to one person. Yeah,
that's what I've found. You know, as a student, we just had no money, so you're like, I'm not paying to get information or get online. And as you like, even some of the information I put out, although amazing quality stuff like this podcast, yeah, very contextual when you can only write an Instagram caption or like a two-page blog, you're not getting the whole packet. And now whenever I need help within, you know, something to do with reach, engagement, conversions, it's like I pay for a professional's time, because what's taught me is like I know how much value I can add to someone within a space of 1 hour, you know, just like how much I could set out someone's training for the next 3 months with a couple of hours of time, so that it's like really personalized and structured to them, to be able to like compare to what they were doing when they were just like guessing and trying to piece together the Reddit articles, Runner's World forum, crap, whatever. And so then you like, you get that information. Like, this is exactly what I needed. And then, yeah, with equipment choices and stuff, that's really hard because everyone's just bought on the internet.
Yeah, it's just like opinions. That's why everyone runs Maxis. Like, they're not the best, but well, maybe they, I don't even know. I run them because everyone else does.
I run them because you told me to.
Yeah, well, that's marketing at work. So we'll never be able to get around that. Yeah, it's a marketing machine. We can't be beaten. So yeah, that's, yeah. I guess like my thing is like, I want to be like, hey, you're listening to this podcast and you want to get faster mountain biking, come talk to me, right? Because that's like not what I'm actually trying to do. Of course you can, right? But if you want like to get information from non-professionals, you need to go to more than one source. Absolutely. Absolutely. Otherwise, you're just going to get perhaps a limited opinion. So talk to two mates who have been there and done it, and yeah, do that.
Try. Yeah, especially when you're doing, you know, applying this to the race factor, like big races. You know, when you you want to, if you're doing an Ironman ultra marathon or like, you know, a new EWS stage race, enduro downhill, like talk to the person who like failed big time and talk to the person who had a real good experience, like rather than just being like, oh yeah, I know Matt like smashed that race, I'll talk to him about what he did, you know. And so you're like, because one person may have, you know, got on the piss the night before, been like, yeah, just send it, your boy Death Grip. And then other person was like, yeah, I did the same thing and was like throwing up and over the bars on stage one. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
there you go.
There you go. Multiple that's, ideas. Yeah.
That's maybe you should see, come talk to me if you want to get faster at mountain biking.
Talk to, yeah. call me. We'll give you two different ideas and you'll be away. You'll be so confused. You won't even know what to do. Then go to Reddit.
Don't want to leave it there.
Yeah, cool. Well,
two different ideas actually, Matt.
Yeah,
our courses have two different ideas in them because there's me and you perspectives on mountain biking, running, and sports science.
Oh dude, like those reviews that we got, those recent reviews, someone left, they did two courses of ours, they were really good. Are you allowed to say names?
Well, oh, yeah. Yeah, they're public reviews.
Are they? Oh, yeah. Can you read one of them and then we'll close it there and bid thee all a good night.
Okay, do you want to stall or should we just like cut this?
I'll are you trying to find it? I'm trying to look in your screenshots because you did send me some screenshots.
I'm getting distracted now. Yeah. Oh, it wasn't Amanda anyway.
So okay. Maybe.
So well put together. Very clear information presented, organized with helpful graphics and slides. Thank you so much for not making these more complicated than they needed to be and explaining everything methodically. The best course I've probably taken and I've been coaching for 20 plus years.
Boom. Mic drop. See you next time, everyone.